There are a lot of reasons people want to be a Christian, and I want to begin a series this morning. And be our Sunday morning lessons, Lord willing, for, just a few weeks. And in this lesson, I want to talk about desiring to be a Christian because we love God. And I understand that most folks here this morning are Christians already, and that I'm not convincing you to become a Christian. But I want you to think about the reason you are a Christian. And I want you to think about this morning your love for God. And I want you to think about your desire to go to heaven. And I want you to think about how strong you are in the faith. And as God blesses us to be Christians and to be His people. Again, if you'll look with me in Mark chapter 12, as Evan has already read this morning, that this is the greatest commandment: to love the Lord our God, and to love Him with our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And the second is to love our neighbor. Love. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love." When we love others, we are in the proper relationship with them. When we love God, we are in the proper relationship with Him. When we love our neighbor, we are in the proper relationship with Him. Now, this morning, I forgot to bring my CD for my PowerPoint, so you're just going to have to maybe pay a little bit more attention to follow along this morning. But the first point I want to make is that loving God is a decision first and an emotion second. And both of these are necessary as Christians. It is a decision first. It is a decision we make. You'll remember the two types of love talked about in the Bible. One is agape. Agape is a mental decision, a mental commitment resulting in acting properly or being in the proper relationship with another. This type of love involves a decision, and it is not an emotion. To do what is good and do what is right without consideration of any emotional prejudices or motives that we might have. It is simply raw logic. It is the way we think. It is the decisions we make that no matter what, no matter how we feel, we are going to do the right thing no matter what. We make up our mind, number one, to do this, and then we make up our mind to carry it out no matter what. And I have some examples of that, some illustrations, a little bit later in our lesson. The second type of love we read about in the Bible is another one that you are familiar with, and this is phileo. Now, this is the emotional and the affectionate commitment we have toward another. This involves our feelings. Our feelings and our emotions and our affections. We have the feelings and the emotions, the emotional commitment to another to do what is right in all relationships and in everything. Well, while you're over to Mark chapter 12, I want to first of all look at this scripture regarding agape. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, look at your Bible with me. Now, in verse 30, our Lord Jesus Christ uses the word agape. Now, this is the mental decision and the mental commitment. Now, He is telling us, verse 30, that you shall love the Lord. In other words, you shall make this commitment. You shall make this mental decision. This is in your mind. You shall make this decision in your life toward God. This commitment with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. With all of your heart. This is your feelings. This is the heart that you have within you. This is your emotions, with all of your emotional being. also with all of your soul. This is all of your spiritual being. With all of your feelings, with all of your emotions, with all of your spiritual being, you are making the commitment that all of my feelings and all of my spiritual being will be toward God to do the right thing in every situation. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. This is with all of our intellect, with all of our thinking, and with all of our strength. Here is the commitment that I have to God, apart from the way that I necessarily feel. My commitment to God to do what is right with all of my being, with all of my spiritual being, my mental being, my emotional being, and with all of my strength. This is my commitment to God. Now turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now from that we carry it a little bit further. Now I have made the commitment in my mind, apart from any emotions, apart from the way that I feel, that all of my emotional being, my spiritual being, all of my mental being, with all of my strength, with everything that I have, I've made that commitment. Now I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. Here the word is phileo. If anyone does not love the Lord, if anyone does not have this emotional commitment to the Lord. Yes, I've made the mental decision. I've made the mental commitment. My mental commitment is that all of my emotions, all of my heart, is going to be right with the Lord. That's where it begins. Now once I make that commitment, then I allow my heart to do what it wants to do, and that is to love the Lord. To have these strong emotions for the Lord, for my Father in heaven, and for my Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 21. I think this very thing is expressed by the Apostle Peter, and I will use the word think, because this is what I think, because I know that in the religious community the scholars disagree on exactly how this whole thing is playing out. This is where Jesus comes to Peter after Peter had denied him three times, and now asks Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And all three times, Peter answered, "Yes, I love you." And it even gets to the point that Peter is grieved because the Lord is asking him this once, twice, and a third time. And Peter is grieved about this. Because the Lord asks and He answers and He asks and He answers and He asks and He answers. And Peter is saying, "Yes, Lord, I've told you for the third time that I love you." Now, you may have footnotes in your Bible, as I do in mine. And they point out that the first time Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" He says, "Agape." This mental commitment. Now, Peter responds to the first time, and he responds, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I, not agape, but phileo." So the Lord says, "Peter, do you have this mental commitment to love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, agape?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo you. I have this strong, emotional, affectionate commitment to you." Now, this is the disagreement in the religious community. Some would say that, and I'm speaking in a religious sense here, I'm not speaking in a worldly sense, I'm speaking in a religious sense. for a Christian, a child of God. Some say in the religious community that agape is the highest sense of commitment one can have. Some say that no, there is, you can go one step further than that. You can have this mental commitment of agape, and then on top of that, you can put your emotions and your feelings, which are held in check and which are buttressed, which are have as a foundation this mental commitment. And I think that's what Peter is talking about here. And if you want to study that further, you could go to the comments of Trent, or you could also look in the Easton's Bible Dictionary and you could read more about this. But I think it's obvious from the context that this is exactly what Peter has in mind. Read with me beginning in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Do you have agape for me?" "Yes, Lord, I have phileo for you." He said to him, that is, Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my lambs." Verse 16. He said to him a second time, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Do you have agape for me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, phileo you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Verse 17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now this time, the third time, Jesus said, "Phileo, do you have phileo for me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I phileo you." Now, what is the point that Peter is trying to get across? I believe it's this. Peter is saying, "Jesus, you know that not only do I have agape for you, but I have taken it one step further. And on top of that, I have a strong emotional, affectionate commitment to you." I think that's what Christian love really is. Yes, it begins with having this mental commitment, agape. When we love the Lord and we have this commitment to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our feelings, with all of our emotions, that's what it's talking about there. We have this commitment that my emotions and my feelings to the Lord are going to be what they ought to be. What does that result in? Does that result in just a non-caring, a relationship with the Lord that has absolutely no feelings at all? Is that what it results in? When I make the commitment to the Lord to love Him, agape, with all of my heart, what is the result? When I give the Lord all of my heart, what is the result? The result is to have strong, strong, strong emotional, affectionate commitment. That is the result. So what I'm suggesting to you this morning, when we love God, it begins with making this commitment. When we make the commitment to love Him with all of our heart, then our emotions our affections, our feelings, we all have them, right? We all have emotions, we all have affections, we all have feelings. They can be unleashed properly to have the relationship that the Apostle Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, and we've already read it this morning, that he who does not love the Lord have this emotional connection and attachment and relationship with the Lord is accursed. Of course, Peter's love was tested. His love was tested as an apostle to tend the sheep. His love was also tested in the life that he lived and the difficulties he had, and we'll talk about in just a few moments, also in his death. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to make this point this morning, because we all do have we do all have emotions, we all do have affections, and we all either direct those one way or another, properly or improperly. I want to suggest to you now this morning in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 is that our agape, our mental commitment, tempers our affections and our emotions. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." Faith working through love. And so I want to suggest this to you today, that our faith works through love. And this is agape. Our faith works through love. And when our commitment is right to the Lord, our faith is going to work. I want you now to turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." Many of these things have to do with our emotions. Outbursts of anger, dissensions, disputes, factions. These are when our emotions are displaced. These are when our emotions are not what they ought to be. These are when our emotions lead us to do things that are wrong and that are sinful. Carry on with me in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So our faith is working through love. When we just let our emotions be displaced, going everywhere and just going all types of places they do not need to be going, there is dissensions, there is factions, there is outbursts of anger, there is no control of our emotions. But when we have this commitment to the Lord, when we have this agape for the Lord, then our mind controls our emotions. We were talking about this morning in our Sunday morning Bible class with the adults. We're to be angry, but not to sin. We're not to let the sun go down on our wrath. How do we control our anger? Anger is an emotion. We control it with our mind. We control it with our mind. We do not let our emotions control us. We talked about also in our Bible class that we're not to give an opportunity for the devil. What is the opportunity for the devil? The devil would love it if we would just unleash our emotions and we would just function strictly on emotions. Then it would be very easy for the devil to tempt us and to carry us away. We are emotional people. We are affectionate people. What keeps our affections in the right direction? What keeps our affections to love in the correct way? What keeps our affections and our emotions from flying off into outbursts of anger? But we can control ourselves. It is our mind. It is our mind. And so, our feelings and our emotions are controlled by our minds, agape, our commitment. Now, there is a thing that's very popular in the world today, and it's called unconditional love. We as Christians should have unconditional love for the Lord, correct? We're to love the Lord with all of our being, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything is directed toward the Lord and what the Lord wants us to do. John says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." This is unconditional love. I unconditionally love the Lord. Whatever the Lord would have me to do in whatever situation, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Unconditional love. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, another passage you're very familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and beginning in verse 4. As we read through this passage, we use this term unconditional love. As we read through this passage, I believe this describes what we today as humans would call unconditional love. Love is patient. Again, this morning in our adult Bible class, we talked about anger. Love does not just break out into wild, uncontrollable anger. Why? Because we control ourselves. Yes, anger is an emotion. Yes, this is an emotion given to us by God. But God wants us to control this emotion. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now this is unconditional love. Unconditional love. Jokingly, I had someone tell me, some time ago. And I've also gone to Beth and I've said this exact same thing. Honey, if I say something and it sounds like it may be wrong, or it could be right. If I say something and there's a possibility there that you may not just absolutely understand what I'm talking about, you could take it a wrong way or a right way. I'm going to tell you right now, I mean it the right way. I mean it the right way. I'm not going to say anything that's going to purposely hurt you, or I'm not purposely going to do something that's wrong. I mean it the right way. And I know as a preacher here standing before you, and I'm going to say things, I'm going to misspeak sometimes, and I'll say something, and you in your mind could say, we were at... When I had the gospel meeting in Atlanta last week, Sunday night, they didn't have a service there. We went to another gospel meeting. And the fellow preaching there said a few things. If you wanted to, you could jump on a few of those things and assume he was talking about something else. Or you could assume he's talking about the right thing. I always want you to assume I'm talking about the right thing. Don't assume I'm talking about the wrong thing unless you come and you talk and you know for sure I'm talking about the wrong thing. This is what love is. It hopes all things. Love is going to hope, is going to think the best in every person until proven otherwise. Love believes all things. That is, love gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. And so, we as Christians, we have this, what we call to be unconditional love. We have unconditional love for God, that whatever He says, whatever He commands, this is our commitment. This is our affection toward the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:22. I love Jesus Christ. I love the Lord so much. Yes, with my commitment. Yes, with my emotions and my affections. Now, whatever He asks me to do, I'm going to do. That's unconditional love. Unconditional love for you is whatever you need, whatever I can do for you. That's what I'm going to do as brethren. Now, I tried to find an illustration of this. Illustrations are hard to find. And this one probably does not stand up to what we're talking about, but I think it can at least help us understand the point a little bit better. And this is an illustration that appeared in USA Today, November 22nd, 2004. And this is about Sergeant Rafael Peralta. And he was fighting in Fallujah. And he volunteered, as is usual, to go on an assault mission. And they burst into a house. He was one of the leading men to go in. And he gets shot in the face. Shot in the face. Before very long, a grenade rolls into the house. And he knows immediately that many, many of them are going to die. Although he'd been shot in the face, I do not know if he was blind or not, he grabbed that grenade and he cradled it, so that when it went off, it would kill him, but hopefully would not kill anyone else. He died. One other Marine was injured badly, and the others got out without being harmed. That's an example of unconditional love. That is an example when his commitments, his mental commitment, and his affectionate commitment to the others who were there took charge to do that which was good for the others. You see, as brethren too, we sometimes come across a grenade. If I can use this as an allegory. We sometimes come across a grenade. And we can take this grenade and we can bear it within ourselves and we can take the hit and spare our brethren. It certainly happens in the home and in the family, doesn't it? As the men, we are oftentimes the stronger, maybe physically, maybe we have more endurance, just generally speaking. And we can bear the heavier burden sometimes. If you'll allow me to use this as an allegory, men, we'll take the grenade, we'll take it and we'll bear it in ourselves. We'll bear the load for others. Unconditional love. Well, if we love the Lord, of course we're going to obey Him. Jesus loved His Father and obeyed Him. And that's the footsteps we're to walk in. Jesus says in John 14 and verse 31, "But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me." And you know, when we obey the Lord, when we obey God, and we're showing people that we love God. That's what we're showing Him. Jesus obeyed God because He loved God. And as Jesus' disciples, we too are to obey God. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and beginning in verse 7. 1 John 4 beginning in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him." God loved us. Young people, I don't think you can really begin to grasp this. And when you grow up, and if you're blessed to have your own children, you may be able to grasp this. I'm sure I can't grasp it. All that was going through the mind of God when God sent His only Son to earth, knowing what was going to happen. This is love. If I can continue the allegory that really doesn't live up to what we're talking about here, but think again about the grenade. Think again about the grenade. And think about Jesus dying upon the cross. You know, Jesus took the hit. Jesus took the hit. Jesus did the hard part. Jesus bore the load.
bore the load.
God loves us. He sent His Son to die upon the cross while we were yet sinners, the Apostle Paul says. Jesus Christ upon the tree bore our sins in His body upon the cross. And this is love. This is love. Can we say that God has unconditional love? I think so. He sent His Son to die for everyone. He didn't exclude anyone. All those who obey Him are saved. Jesus Christ is a source of eternal salvation. All those who obey Him. Does Jesus have unconditional love for us? I think so. I think you can say that. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. When we understand the love that the Lord has for us, then this elicits a response. We love because He first loved us. You know, why do I love God? I love God because I know what God has done for me. Why do I love Jesus Christ? It is because I know what Jesus Christ has done for me. And this lesson isn't going into talking about all of those things, but think about that. And that should elicit not only a commitment that we make within ourselves with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, with all of our emotions, with all of our intellect, with all of our spiritual being, with all of our strength as a man or a woman. But then that also translates into all of our emotions, all of our feelings. How do you feel about God? How do you feel about Jesus Christ? So that's what I'm getting to today. That's what I'm getting to. Yes, we've got the commitment. But have we allowed that to translate into our feelings? Our feelings. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We love God and we love Jesus Christ because God loved us and Jesus loved us, and we keep their commandments. Now I want to try to illustrate this a little bit more. Because this morning I'm talking, and I'm really trying to emphasize more 1 Corinthians 16:22. Those who do not love, phileo, the Lord, is accursed. And sometimes I think, I don't know about you, sometimes I think, growing up in the church, you know, I heard a lot about this mental commitment to be cold and to be unfeeling. And that's what I was taught. That's what I was taught. I discovered for myself 1 Corinthians 16:22. I was taught that, yes, you have to have this stoic commitment to the Lord. And sort of what I came away with was that, you know, you're not to let your feelings get in the way. And in a sense, that's true, but we have to go beyond that, where we do let this commitment unleash into our emotions. How do you feel about God? How do you feel about the Lord? What is your emotional commitment to God? Three illustrations here I want to use. I love to use the illustration of Polycarp. I know I've used that one time, who was martyred on February 23rd, 155 A.D. And you'll remember that he was found in a farmhouse, and he bartered with the soldiers there for an hour of prayer. He said, "You can have all you want to eat if I can have an hour to pray." And they said, "Okay." Ended up he got 2 hours of prayer out of the deal. And you'll remember that they took him to the stadium, and there he was given several chances to deny Jesus Christ. And Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served Him, and He never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my King who hath saved me?" The great faith of this man, as is recorded in history, whether or not it's correct or not, who knows at this point, is they were going to, as was customary, they were going to nail him to the stake, and then they were going to burn him alive. And they said, "You don't need to nail me. I'll stand here." They ended up tying him. They didn't nail him, and they burned him alive. Burnt him alive. I don't know about you, but one story that has really stayed with me, that has really meant something to me, and that is the story of Casey Bernal. Do you remember who that is? 17-year-old girl who was shot at Columbine High School. And one of her classmates was there and had a gun and asked her, "Do you believe in God?" She paused for a second and then answered yes. One of her classmates who watched this says that she was scared, but she sounded strong. The gunman, staring at her, asked, "Why?" Before she could answer, bam! He shot her in the temple. She died instantly. This is the commitment I'm talking about. And I don't know about you. I have put myself, best that I can, in the place of Polycarp to say, you know, you don't need to nail me here. You don't even need to tie me here. I know you're going to kill me. I'll just stand here. Jesus has never let me down, and Jesus is not going to let me down today. And I've tried to put myself in the shoes of this 17-year-old girl. You know, and I wish, and I hope, I pray that I have the faith, that I have the love for God, that if a gun is held to my hand and said, "Do you believe in God?" that I will say yes. Knowing that I'm probably never going to see my family again, knowing that I'm probably never going to see any of you again, but that I just love the Lord so much that I cannot deny Him. Faith of a 17-year-old girl. I know nothing about her religious background. I have one other illustration for you. And this is the greatest illustration of all. And that's the illustration of Jesus Christ, who in the days of His flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who's able to save him from death, and He was heard because of His piety. Jesus Christ loved God so much. The Bible tells us that He loved God so much. God asked Him to do something He did not want to do on a level. Certainly on another level, He certainly did. And He loved God, He was going to carry it out. But it was so difficult for Him that He offered up these prayers. The Bible tells us in the Gospel that He fell upon His face. If you could see Jesus laying, just crying out so loud. Emotion? Yes, emotion. Emotion. Feelings? Yes, feelings. I don't believe I've ever had such feelings in my life as reflected here that our Lord had as He was praying to His Father. Yes, emotion. Yes, feelings. But His commitment was, "Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done and not mine." This commitment to God with our minds and with our emotions and our feelings is to be so great that we will obey the Lord no matter what. Now, the title of the lesson is, "I want to be a Christian because I love God." I want to be a Christian because I love God. And if you're a Christian here today, and I know most of you are, I know you're a Christian because you love God. I know that. And I would like for you this morning to think about that love you have for God. And I would like for you to think about making that stronger in your lives. Because it can be. All of us, it can be. Your love and your commitment on a mental level and on an emotional level, on a feelings level, can be stronger to God today. I want you to think about that, and I want you to commit yourself to working on that. If you're not a Christian, though, today, I want you to let your commitment to the Lord, your love for the Lord, bring you to Christ to become a Christian. Because your commitment is to do whatever He wants you to do, no matter what. Someone holds a gun to your head, my commitment is, I'm going to do the right thing. It doesn't matter what the cost is. It doesn't matter what the result is. I'm going to do the right thing. And that'll bring you to Christ. What does Jesus Christ ask us to do if you're not a Christian today? You know, we talked about Jesus Christ bearing the burden. And I've tried to imagine what it would be like to be on a cross. I can't imagine. But I know this, how hard it was and how difficult it was and how painful and how much agony it was. And that's reflected just by the prayer of Jesus in the garden with loud crying. I don't know about you, but just to think about it makes me want to cry, you know. It makes me want to cry. And so Jesus has done the hard part. He's bore the big burden. And He's just asked us to believe that He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah. Unless you believe that, I'm healed, you'll die in your sins. He's asked us to repent of our sins. That's simply to change our mind, not to do the wrong, but to do the right. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He's asked us to confess our faith, that we believe He is the Son of God before men. He's asked us to submit to being immersed in water. I went back and saw the baptistry a couple of days ago. I hadn't seen it yet. It's full of water. Water isn't cold, you know. It's ready to go. I reached down and touched it. It doesn't hurt. It's not like being on a cross or anything. It doesn't hurt. As a matter of fact, a little dip in that water probably feel pretty good right now, you know. Jesus bore the hard part. He asked you to just do a simple little thing. If you're not a Christian today, believe in Him. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and allow yourself to be immersed in water. You'll be a Christian. You'll be saved. Your sins will be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll begin a whole new life of love and dedication to God and to Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song of invitation now. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, anyway, we ask you to step to the front as we stand and sing.